Last year, we started offering harm reduction supplies to the community from our community drop-in center. So we have inhalation kits and injection kits, which are clean needles and pipes that are free for people to access if they are using substances and would like to do so safely. We also have naloxone kits and provide naloxone training, which is a method of reversing overdose from fentanyl, or other opiates. So the newest addition to the harm reduction services at Community Connections is that we are now a registered distributed drug checking site, which is a very complicated way of saying that if folks have substances that they would like to have tested, we can send them away to get tested. So it's not necessarily a super speedy process for somebody that wants to like test the drugs and use them right away. But what it does allow the province to do is track where poisonous drugs are in the province. So if Revelstoke is able to provide samples to Interior Health, they can create kind of a profile that shows what types of substances are being used in Revelstoke and the composition of those substances, which can either be toxic or safe. And it promotes the ability for healthcare providers and community social service providers to be able to continue to offer harm reduction, which is just keeping people safe while they're using substances.
How are the drugs tested?
Yeah, so we take a tiny sample, and so that could be just like if somebody had a bag of illicit substances that they were finished using and they were willing to share that bag with us, then we can take the tiny sample and send it away to the Interior Health drug checking site. So at that place, they have better equipment that's able to take a tiny sample and test the composition of that sample.
So would it be after they're done using the drugs that it would be checked?
Yeah, so we can take a sample prior to their use, and they could wait to use the substances until we get the test back. Or if it's more about just helping us create a picture of what types of drugs are in the community, then we're happy to just take the leftover bits of the bag and we can take that and add it to the Interior Health drug checking site.
Have you had many people bring you their bags or samples to be tested?
I've had no samples. I have, I've spoken with community members and just sort of tried to put the word out, and most people laugh, which I totally understand. Like, it's not something that anybody really feels, I think, safe doing because there's still so much stigma around substance use. But I thought it would be an important time to talk about it because recently the decriminalization of illicit substances began to, it was January 31st. So now, you know, people can use heroin or cocaine or methamphetamine in small doses without criminal implication. And I just wanted to continue to let the community know that Community Connections is a place where we can help provide harm reduction services to keep people safe while they're using.
Why do they not trust that it would be safe for their drugs to be tested?
Yeah, I think we've had such a culture of, criminalization and judgment around drug use. So the story around drug use has always been that if you're a drug user, you're a bad person, you are a drain on the economy, you're not, you know, which isn't, you know, true. Like, these things are not true. So many people are using substances and also, you know, holding down a job or contributing to the community in lots of different ways. And it's more to me about the safety aspect of substance use, but I can appreciate that for other people, the story around criminal behavior or that you're a bad person is still persisting. And I think so then when it comes to saying like, oh yeah, give me your old bags from your drugs, nobody wants to do that because they're like, are you crazy? I'm going to get in trouble, which you won't at all. This is completely legal. Like, I'm registered with Interior Health to be able to provide this service. But and you don't have to, there's no like, it's anonymous, like you don't have to attach a name or anything to the bag that you drop off. It's just basically me putting it in an envelope and sending it off to Interior Health. But I just, my hope is that people can shift away from the idea that this is like something that they would get in trouble for, towards the idea that, hey, maybe if I contribute some of my old bags for my drug use, then I can help protect the community, and they can understand if there are toxic drugs in the community as opposed to ones that people are using safely.
I feel like this is a naive question, but if the sample is toxic, wouldn't you know before you got the baggie?
Yeah. So, I mean, that's the downside of drug testing. Ultimately, the best way to do it is before you use it. But I think that there's certain substances that are showing up more often now, and some of those substances are they call them benzos, and they or fentanyl is also a super strong component of lots of drugs. And so that, just knowing that those are present in the community, allows healthcare providers to be ready for the possible toxicity of those drugs. But, you know, those can be within drugs and not kill you. It's this really like fine line, right? It's kind of like Russian roulette. You might get the bag of drugs that's really strong, and that dose is the one that poisons you, but you might also have a bag of drugs that has none of it in it, and you're fine. So because it's unregulated, these substances are just things that people are making in basements or bathtubs or whatever, like, and then selling on the street, there's no way for anyone to know whether they're safe unless they test the drug. So we don't have a formal drug testing facility in Revelstoke. And so this is just another step towards trying to create opportunity for harm reduction.
And you mentioned some other harm reduction things that you offer here at Community Connections. Do people access those?
Yes. So, I mean, that has been such a wonderful thing to witness. We were able to have a tent at LunaFest, myself and some nurses from Interior Health. And at that tent, we were able to provide harm reduction information and do naloxone training for anybody that was interested. And we gave out so many naloxone kits and did so much training. So that felt really positive, that that people in the community understand what it is, they're interested. People bring me their expired kits and ask for new ones, or people come and ask for another naloxone kit because they've used theirs. So that's wonderful. Like, those measures of harm reduction are out in the community, and people are taking them up, and that's really great to see. And I think when I think about naloxone kits in general, that long ago was something that nobody understood and nobody did, and has slowly gained traction. So I think all the different types of harm reduction measures that are being implemented just will take time to get traction, and people understand what they are and why it might be helpful to participate. And more I'm seeing that is the story.
I feel like the way that I kind of like order this in my mind is part of the stigma and bias that people have, but I kind of like differentiate between people who are like drug users and then maybe people who do party drugs. But like, the testing is for everyone, right?
Yeah, I agree. And I think that the people that are using substances regularly, and maybe not just in sort of parties or social events, regular substance users are also taking naloxone kits. They're also taking the safe supplies, the clean needles and clean pipes. And we did have fentanyl test strips. I need to order more. But all of those things are going out into the community. And then equally so, people are aware of, oh, hey, I'm going to this party on the weekend. I heard you have naloxone kits here. I'd like to take one. I'm like, yes, please. So, like, I think both populations are accessing the service, which is great. Everybody should do it.
And when I talked to you in the spring about when the provincial government announced the decriminalization pilot project, you were talking about how it's a good safe first step, but what we really need is a safe supply. And just so I understand, all of these harm reduction things are kind of tools for safe supply?
Yeah. And this is the thing. We wouldn't have to test drugs if we knew they were safe. So I don't have to test cannabis that comes from a government store. I don't have to test alcohol that comes from the liquor store because we know those are safe for consumption. That's the whole point of regulation. We don't know what's in substances that come from the street. And so if there were a regulated safe supply of substances for people that are users, then we wouldn't need most of this harm reduction. It doesn't mean that there are people that use pharmaceutical substances and those are prescription, but then they use them outside of how they're prescribed. And that can cause an overdose. And so, you know, it's always a risk. And I think that's true with other types of substances. Like, it's a risk to consume too much alcohol. But there's more ways to support people to use safely when we know that the substances are safe themselves.
I've noticed from the decriminalization conversations that people in our community and in other communities are scared of that. The idea of people carrying that amount of drugs, or it could be fentanyl, and they say, like, watch your children. I guess this is the stigma that decriminalization and normalization of drug use is trying to overcome, to prevent people from using drugs in secret and dying alone.
Yeah, absolutely. So when I think of sort of the conversations that are around, oh, well, we're just increasing the possibility of people using toxic drugs and dying. I mean, yes, but someone can also die from drinking too much alcohol, or people drink and get into a vehicle and kill someone else. Like, the risks that come along with how we live together in society always exist. And we just come to have more faith in certain systems that are there for our protection than others. And so, yeah, I do believe that most of it has to do with stigma. It has to do with that culture and story that exists around substance use. And I hope that story can shift a little. We can shift away from the idea that there are, you know, good drugs and bad drugs. Like, all drugs come with risk. That's just how it is. Even the ones from the doctor. So the ability for us to be able to try to embrace the idea that people are taking substances, everybody takes substances. How can we make sure that the substances that people are taking are safe and not killing people?
What would it take to get drug testing in Revelstoke?
Yeah, I think that it's not far off. Really, we would just need to have a facility that allowed for that type of testing to happen. You know, I think the other side of it is that oftentimes facilities like that are based on population size or prevalence of substance use. And, you know, Revelstoke's a small, isolated place. Like, we're not necessarily a location that's going to be first on the list for a safe injection site or a safe consumption site or a drug testing facility. But I know that there's lots of ways of doing that that can happen outside of, you know, regular streams of facilities. Like, the Anchors in Nelson is an amazing harm reduction nonprofit, and they do so much work related to creating drug testing sites And they're mobile. So they have them at Shambhala, they have them at festivals. They try so hard to be in the places in the community where drugs exist and just have the set, testing there. So yeah, I think it's just continually talking about it, continually trying to work towards those types of facilities, those types of services. A big piece of working in those social service areas is funding. So having the ability to have the funding to have the supplies, have the funding to have the people that know how to do the testing, have the funding to also have just the ongoing conversation. So right now, yeah, Revelstoke's really small, but I never say never, and I'll keep trying to bring harm reduction services to Revelstoke.
What would you say to people, like, obviously in a good way, who'd worry that testing and safe injection site would increase drug users in the community and change the community?
I don't think that's true. I don't think that more alcohol sales, like more places to buy, like more liquor stores, doesn't equal more drinkers. So having more places for people to try and do something safely doesn't mean that there would increase that. I don't think they correlate. I can appreciate that the idea behind it is that that people that need that service would then start coming to Revelstoke to use that service. But I have not witnessed that in the last 2 years of us having harm reduction services. There hasn't been an increase in substance users that I am aware of.
Is there anything else that you're working on that you're excited about? Any changes or anything else you want to say?
No, I mean, we're here. The community drop-in program is Monday, Wednesday, Friday, and we coincide with the food bank. So Monday, 10 to 1, Wednesday, 3 p.m. to 6 p.m., and Friday, 10 to 12. So anytime during those hours, there are staff here available to provide naloxone training, to provide harm reduction supplies, and even just having conversations. So yeah, we're happy to be here and be part of the community and support the folks that need it.
Is there anything you wanted to add about decriminalization? I know we talked in the spring and it's kind of happened now, but is there anything else, any changes or anything that we should talk about?
I think it feels funny to me because I thought there might be more of a pushback or more of an uproar. But in my reading of the news, and I mean, again, my experience of Revelstoke, which is a small community, it doesn't really feel like it was a big deal. And so I'm, like I say, I'm not privy to what it's like in Vancouver or Kelowna and bigger city centers where possibly the ability to use substances anywhere and everywhere has changed their communities, but I haven't noticed a difference. I would be happy to hear more from people that might have those experiences, because that's important too. I think understanding what's happening in the community and hearing how people are experiencing life here allows people to try to support the community in a particular way. So, you know, years ago we had many deaths from drug toxicity, and we responded to that conversation and those observations, and that's why we have harm reduction services now. And so if the community story changes and shifts towards something else, like the other piece that's happening is just how housing is so difficult for so many people and affordability is so difficult for so many people. And those conversations are happening. And from those conversations, different types of support come. So yeah, I think that becomes the way that Revelstoke adapts, is that we're always changing and adapting towards what becomes most important for the community.
Prioritize the services that people are asking for.
Yeah, absolutely. And so, yeah, with decriminalization, I don't see, like I say, I didn't see a huge change in Revelstoke. I mean, it's only been a couple weeks. Maybe in a few months that will be a different story. But the but I hope, again, like that the story around substance use can just continue to be looked at critically. Like, what does this actually mean? What does it actually mean for people to be able to take substances that they're using for whatever reason and not have to go to jail for that? I think that...
Or have them taken away is, I understand, a big part of it.
Yeah, exactly. Like, what it means to the people that are struggling, and maybe in their life the only good part of their day is that they get to end the day with some sort of substance. You know, I think lots of people feel that they have a long day at work and they go home and they have a beer, or they have they smoke some weed or whatever, right? We all have a way of relaxing or coping. And what would it mean to have that story no longer be attached to the fact, like, you're a criminal, you're a bad person, you are a drain on the system? You know, those things could change. Like, and I think, you know, even when I think of how marijuana became a legal substance and now we have stores where you can go buy it, we're, as a country, making money off of that. And that money gets to go back into keeping Canada a great place to live. So what happens if we regulate other substances and take profit from that? I don't know. Is that a future that it happens here? Maybe, maybe not. Maybe it just becomes something that's related to a relationship that you have with your healthcare providers, and they support you to be able to take the substances that you need because that's how your body copes. But you can also continue to live all the other aspects of your life because we're never just one story. So I feel like that happens too, is like the, if you're a substance user, that becomes a totalizing story. Because that you're a bad person, you're a criminal. So that's your whole story. And it doesn't take into fact that maybe you're an amazing pianist. Maybe you're a really amazing artist. Maybe you're a dancer. Maybe you have kids and like you're the best mom ever. Who knows, right? Like that, those are the other parts of our lives. And so when we have stories that just overshadow the rest of people's lives, we miss out on the fact that, you know, we're all multi-storied.
How do you reach out to the people who use drugs in secret, who don't like reach out, and like, what do you worry about that, and how do you access them?
Yeah, I think, I mean, my hope is that people don't use alone. I know that people do use alone. Yes, I think about that. I know, yeah, we had another death last week of somebody that was alone. And it's not, it's not a fun thing to think about. And I guess I hope that conversations like this, being able to put stories out into the media, the fact that we have all the things at the drop-in center here, and we have people that are open to talking about it, and we can talk confidentially, we can talk however it would feel comfortable on the phone or via email. It doesn't have to be in person. Please don't use alone. And there are methods for folks that do want to use alone, but want to kind of create a buddy system, or create, you can use this app and it allows people to be notified that you've started using and you finished using and that you're still alive. And then you don't need to worry about, possibly taking a toxic dose and having nobody respond.
Is the person, I'm sorry about the person who died, and did they overdose?
Yes. Yeah, they were using substances that were poisonous.